Hi, everybody. Octopus Caveman.
Peter.
You're listening to Popcorn with Candy, the podcast where we talk about the theatrical films of the late, great John Candy in chronological order. This week, we're talking about 1941 from 1979. This movie's directed by Steven Spielberg. Academy Award winner Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
And this is the worst movie ever.
It was pretty bad.
This movie is like 9 hours long.
2.5.
Feels like 11.
A very slow 2.5 hours.
It took us like 4 to get through it, didn't it?
Yeah.
I had to just keep taking breaks. I hate this movie so much.
After seeing it once, watching it the second time with you, I was able to say, okay, the movie starts now. And that was almost 2 hours in.
It's garbage.
It's
and I don't know why.
For 2 hours of the movie.
This is written by John Milius and then Bob Zemeckis and Bob Gale, who wrote the Back to the Future movies.
Wow.
They wrote this.
They were getting all the bad ideas out.
And then the cast is amazing.
Yeah.
Right? You've got Tim Matheson from Animal House. You've got
Belushi.
John Belushi. Dan Aykroyd. American
amazing
film
Aykroyd.
Debut.
He's the one who stole the film. Horrible part, but he did an amazing job.
The movie is just ass. It's so bad. It's so bad. He did great in this, but it's just a lot of great people doing terrible stuff. This is scored by Oscar record setter John Williams. This is the worst thing anybody associated with this movie has ever done, including Mickey Rooney, film debut. Probably the worst thing he's ever done, even. This movie is so bad. I hate it more than...
Wait a second. Mickey Rooney?
Oh, Mickey Rourke.
Yeah.
I hate this more than it seemed like a good idea at the time. I hate this more than Class of 44.
Wow.
I would rather watch Class 44 twice than watch this once.
Well, this was bad. I've seen this twice, and I had to make you finish this one.
I hate this so much. And the thing, like, I put a note at some point. This is a cake steak. Like, it'll make sense when I explain it to you, right? So it's all this stuff you like, hey, you like Robert Zemeckis? He wrote Back to the Future. You like him, right? Yeah, he's great. Spielberg, you like Spielberg. He did Jaws. Great, great director, right? Yeah. How about Aykroyd? Oh, he's awesome. Okay, how about I take all your favorite foods, put them in a blender. Here you go, right? It's like, I like cake. I like steak. Don't blend them together and try and serve them to me. It's like too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And it makes me dislike Steven Spielberg.
It was rough. I didn't like the style. I didn't like almost anything about it. There were a few clever moments, a few jokes, but really rough. I was watching this thinking, this is going to be horrible to get through on the podcast.
It's super racist, too. Like,
that was hard.
I get that we used to call them Japs in World War II, but they say Japs so much, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And then there's black racism. John Candy, I wish he didn't do this movie.
Yeah, I really didn't like his character in
this
at all.
It bums me out. Like, he's like a super racist in this. I hate it.
Yeah.
There was a piece of IMDb trivia that I saw about this where Steven Spielberg wrote a gag for this movie where somebody was going to be tortured and it turned out to just be a coat rack. And he said he was going to put it in every script until it got used. And then it got used in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Really?
Yeah, you know the scene, the Asian guy walks in and he pulls this like intimidating thing out and Indy's tied to a chair or whatever. It looks like he's going to torture him and then he just hangs his jacket on it. He was so in love with that bit, he was just like, I'm going to put it in every script until it gets used.
Wow, that's sad.
That is the power of this guy. Like, his power went to his head and he made this movie. And luckily it flopped. Like, this movie represents humility for Spielberg. That he was just like, this is the best bit ever, it's getting used. I'm putting it in everything. That's insane to me, because all of the bits in this, it just feels like Spielberg was just like, this is going to be great. People are going to love this. And they didn't.
I don't know how it was received, but it was a bad movie.
I can just picture like Aykroyd and Candy sitting around just like, John, you know this is garbage, right? Like, yeah, but you know, we're getting paid. It's a Spielberg film. Who thought this was a good movie? Do you think that like Ned Beatty and all these people were sitting around just like, this is killer, going to nail it? Or was this just like paychecks for everybody?
I don't know.
I need to look up the budget, but I'm sure this movie cost millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. They destroy a house in it. They do some amazing model work in it.
I just don't understand how this happens, because Spielberg, right before this, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Great movie, still holds up to this day. Awesome movie. Right after this, Raiders of the Lost Ark, still a great movie. You can watch that. This, where did this come from?
A weekend of screwing around?
What's weird is there's stuff that, like, Zemeckis, that's very, like, Zemeckis in this. Like, at one point, the guy gets the eggs on him, and I was like, oh, this is the Biff Tannen moment. And it was, yeah. Oh, yeah. He was working out the kinks. He was working towards Back to the Future. This is put these same bits in. It's the Spielberg coat rack torture thing. Just like, no, I'm just going to put this in until it works.
We're going to have to be careful not to stop too many times for this, because this is a mess.
I could just blow through this whole thing in about 10 minutes and just blah, 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 yada, 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 the end. All right, starts on the Northern California coast, and there's a polar bear club woman.
Swimming by herself in the ocean.
Naked.
We get some Jaws music and some amazing timing. Sub picks her up.
The Jaws music infuriated me. Spielberg is spoofing a movie that he did like three movies previous.
I think it was less than that.
Something like, but he's like, here we go, guys. Like the Jaws is part of the lexicon. Ha, this is hilarious. Look at me, make fun of me.
So we see a bunch of Japanese people on a sub.
Oh, call them what they call them in the movie, dude. Yeah.
So they're on the sub. They're looking around, and they're trying to get their bearings. They mention something about they want to take out Hollywood or something like that. So they all go get back in the sub, and the last guy to close the hatch, he looks up and he sees the naked woman up on the sub.
Why does he call her Hollywood?
I don't know. But you see a naked butt, and he points up and yells, Hollywood! As they're submerging before the hatch is closed and water starts pouring in. The first of many times we get to see that.
Every scene that doesn't work, I just picture like Steven Spielberg in a manic state, just like, haha, it's going to be great, guys. Then he's going to look up, he's going to see her butt, and he's going to go, Hollywood! It's going to be great. People are going to love it. And everybody's just like, ugh. Like, there is a cocaine story behind this someplace. Like, you watch like Maximum Overdrive and then Steven Spielberg, or Stephen King. He was like, yeah, I was doing a lot of cocaine. I was out of my mind. Like, I need a story like that for this movie to make sense. Like, how do you do this?
I don't know. It seems like working out the kinks, because every little scene in here, you could point to another movie where they've done it better.
Yeah.
Because this next scene, we get the worst diner ever seen.
This made me super mad.
It was a poor man's Macchio, and he's doing a horrible job in this diner, and they're being stupid, throwing dishes back and forth, barely washing them, reusing food from plates coming back.
How many dishes do you think they broke just trying to film this scene?
That was the point, though. They were being stupid. They were breaking them on camera, and they kept them. They get yelled at for not reusing some food. And then we get to see Aykroyd, Candy, and some other guys.
Treat Williams.
Having a conversation at this diner.
This is like 20 minutes into the movie.
No, actually, it's like two. The poor man's Macchio is doing
Wally, right?
Wally. He's doing a bunch of dumb dancing for a jitterbug contest that's coming up. A bunch more at the diner, and then it goes to his...
Basically, the army guys are mad at him because he's not in the army.
Yes, and he gets egg on Treat Williams.
He gets egg on Treat Williams. Treat uniform. Williams, a.k.a. Biff Tannen, says eggs are his least favorite, and they get into a fight, and everything's a mess, and it's a food fight, and it's disgusting.
He gets in trouble with the owner of the diner, and we're already taking way too long.
Yeah, just move on. There's a diner and it's stupid. Then we go
That's
to
what I was trying to do. Okay.
Then so we go to the store and there's an air raid and it's stupid.
So we've got the diner. Then we've got Betty, poor man's Macchio's
lady friend,
at a USO meeting where she's going to be a hostess for this dance. And it's just been decided it's just going to be military only.
Right. The winner's supposed to get... 12-picture deal with RKO Pictures, something like that.
Right. It's a jitterbug contest. Civilians aren't allowed. Then we get poor man's Macchio buying a zoot suit. His friend walks in with a siren in a box, and he's saying, it's not going to work, it's not going to work. He cranks the air raid siren, and everybody in the mall freaks out because of fear of the Japs.
That scene, by the way, has adult twins dressed exactly alike.
Right. It's a dumb movie.
I've seen that in real life. That is disconcerting when adults do it. It's cute when, like, oh, look, little Jimmy and Jeffy are wearing the same overalls. Cute, fine. Confuse your kids, whatever. Jimmy's going to be Jeffy, whatever. You're going to mix them up. You need to tattoo one of them. But when you see adults do it, it's so weird. And the whole idea of people just, like, remember, like, the Budweiser commercials? Like, and twins! Like, the idea of, like, bending down Twin sisters is so gross to me. I don't understand how that's in the lexicon.
Ugh, this movie.
I have the note right here. I don't know who anybody is, and I do not care.
It's hard to identify anybody until the very end, and it doesn't matter. But
Plane lands.
Belushi lands a plane at a gas station, says, fill her up. He walks in. He ends up shooting a radio because they said something about Jap fever or something like that.
Something racist.
And for some reason, the plane starts taking off without him. So he runs and chases it down, shoots in the air, shoots something, and blows up the gas station.
I hate him so much in this. He is totally not needed.
He is awful.
If you look at the arc of his character, he does nothing to move the story forward. It's the worst.
It's dumb. So
we're at like the air place, right? Or the airstrip. Tim Matheson's bedding down some broad in a car. And Robert Stack, the guy from Unsolved Mysteries.
Unsolved Mysteries.
Is like a general or something.
He's the general.
Tim Matheson strikes out with the lady. She takes off running.
But he notices the general's new aide.
Right.
Is somebody he knows. And
Donna.
Yes, and she has a thing for planes.
Note right here. Uncomfortable with the amount of Jap usage already.
Oh, yeah.
Tim Matheson is talking to this Donna chick, and he's kind of talking about the plane, but he's totally just...
It's 100% sexual innuendo.
It's gross. It's so bad. He takes it to such an extreme. He's talking about the payload. It's disgusting.
And the forward thrust.
Ugh.
So they get in the cockpit, and they're playing around.
Yeah, Donna has the weirdest fetish in the world. She's only happy if she is flying in a plane. She's sitting in the cockpit. He's trying to...
Role playing
like she's flying.
Everything she's doing is knocking people off the plane.
Yeah, she hits a switch, a dude goes flying off the plane. First chuckle of the movie, probably the only part I enjoyed.
And they bump the bomb release.
Yeah, and Stack, Robert Stack, is giving a speech about...
He's calming the press about the current threat on the coast, and there's apparently none, he says. There no bombs will be dropped.
Yeah, as the bomb rolls up to them. Background.
The press notices and freaks out. It looks like the same woman from the mall that screamed.
This is like a live-action cartoon. This is so terrible.
It's a bad cartoon, but it's done poorly. So the grandstand blows up, and then we get to Macchio finding out he can't attend the dance at his girlfriend's house in the garage.
The scroll on the screen is Santa Monica, the Douglas house. So I guess his lady is Betty Douglas?
I don't know.
Yeah, they're the Douglases, and he's wearing a zoot suit. Every time I see a zoot suit, by the way, I think of the Weasels and Roger Rabbit.
That fits.
Nobody's worn them better.
No. So they're talking in the garage. Her friend is with her. And the dad comes out of the house with a gun. And her friend is really excited about that.
Ned Beatty holds that gun throughout the entirety of this movie.
Yeah, they're at risk. I mean, they have an anti-aircraft gun installed on their house coming up.
And the Lost Boys dug a pit trap?
Yes, her brothers dug this awesome pit trap.
It's 12 feet deep, at least. It's intense. They step through it and just... That would have been a leg breaker, an ankle breaker, something.
Standing up, she can reach out of it. I'm saying she can't.
She's jumping to grab the edges at one point.
Okay, then it's maybe 8 to 10 feet.
8 to 10 feet? That's still super deep for a bunch of kids to dig in an afternoon.
That's amazing. And no sign of it except for the rug on top of it. But they trick their sister into falling into it. Next, we get her mom inside the house, and she's cleaning up, finds a gun, freaks out that there's a gun in the couch, goes to the door to yell at Ned Beatty, and anti-aircraft gun slams into the door.
Yeah, Aykroyd and the boys show up with an AA gun to put in their yard. And Treat Williams is a panty sniffer.
Yeah, he's going through their laundry hanging on the line.
Yeah.
He finds the girls after looking at her underwear and looks down and helps her out, lifts her up and says something creepy. And then Aykroyd tells him to put her down and she says, do what he says. And he says, okay, and drops her. From up in the air, not just next to her.
He's added a couple feet to her
fall. Holding her up in the air, drops her into the pit.
He's the worst in this. I hate his character so much.
Yes.
Hard to say, but less likable than Biff Tannen.
That's not hard to say at all. Biff Tannen's kind of cool in what he does. He's a jerk, but you enjoy his character.
Yeah.
I didn't enjoy his character at all.
Not one bit. Then we have the Christmas tree scene.
First, after she is dropped in the pit again, Aykroyd decides to teach the family how not to shoot that gun.
Right. That's kind of clever. Like, oh, well, if you have to fire it, definitely don't do this. And then definitely be sure to not do this.
If you don't want it to fire, do not.
Right. Basically training Ned Beatty how to shoot the gun.
So Biff Tannen flirts with Betty in the garage. Poor man's Macchio's still up in the garage hiding. There's a dumb joke where he falls, and there's the whole you joke where everybody anywhere right. says, you, you, you. Ugh. And Aykroyd has a good one. He says, you, you have a serious wardrobe problem.
Then we have the Christmas trees. The Japanese guys are talking about how their soldiers are...
trained by ninja assassins.
And then they're dressed like Christmas trees.
Right. They land and there happens to be a Christmas tree lot there.
This was okay.
It was clever and dumb. But there, a couple of them are reading a sign. The rest go line up and one has a camera. Yeah. And they're all Christmas trees in a line. And you hear them say cheese.
Yeah.
And then we get...
great racist humor. Japanese always have cameras.
Right, right.
We're at the Hollis Wood Christmas tree farm.
Right, and he's driving up. And he gets excited about these extra trees outside of his lot. And
yeah.
He stops and gets out of the car.
And it's Slim Pickens, who's great. He's great in this.
He does a good job.
Yeah, he's always the same character.
So he gets his axe and he's getting ready to swing at a tree and it just falls over.
That was good. That was good. Even yeah. thinking about that, probably the best bit in the film.
He goes over to another one, goes to take a swing at it, and it jumps over the axe. And he goes to take another swing at it, the tree behind him grabs the axe, and he freaks out, and,
oh, they're alive.
Something weird like that.
They capture him.
Yeah. Then we see him shoving him in a sub, and they try to shove his radio in a sub, which I don't know how he had a radio in his truck like that, but interesting, weird joke where they're trying to shove this giant wooden radio into the sub, and they say, we need to see if we can make this thing smaller.
Before this, for some reason, we have 20 minutes of John Belushi just flying and being gross.
Oh, I didn't even take that note because he's just being stupid.
It's the stupidest.
We could just stop talking about Belushi.
Yeah, let's just forget that he exists until the end.
Okay.
Oh, so...
they're going through his stuff and they find Popper Jacks, which are Cracker Jacks.
Popper Jacks?
Yeah, it's just a dumb name for a movie.
That's terrible.
And they find the little thing in the... Cracker Jacks, and it's a compass.
Well, they also found a rabbit's foot and blew into it like a whistle.
That was weird. Hollis freaks out and grabs the compass because apparently they needed a compass, and they were excited about it. So he swallows the compass, a little toy plastic compass. They put him in a room and pour something into him.
Prune juice.
Prune juice? Okay.
And he's yelling about how he's been constipated. And...
okay.
And the... oh, I can't even say the worst part of the movie. Eddie Deason at the amusement park.
Is that the scrawny guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Stereotypical nerd guy.
That guy is like saltpeter. Like, he just ruins things for me. And I it's just his character, but they're going to go do lookout at the top of a Ferris wheel at an amusement park?
Yeah. So they get put in a Ferris wheel and sent to the top with a phone with a long cord and a couple of guns and binoculars.
Eddie Deason is comedy kryptonite.
He was pretty bad. There were some clever, dumb moments.
Yeah, they get up there to the top, and he pulls out a ventriloquist dummy.
Well, he's told not to say another word because his partner's really annoyed with him. And so the ventriloquist dummy pops up, says, afraid of heights, huh? That was clever and dumb.
It was.
I was okay with that.
Hats off to you, Eddie Deason. Sorry for being so mean, but I hate this movie so much.
Okay, so Hollis somehow escapes. He tricks them into letting him be alone in the bathroom.
He pretends to poop by dropping his boot into the toilet.
And screaming and making bad noises. And then by the time they figure out that he's done, he's climbed up above the door in the room.
Like a ninja. Like a Van Damme movie.
Yes. And they all go in and they're looking in the toilet like, what's going on? And one looks up and screams and he drops on them. And escapes the sub by doing that.
To his death, because his last words in this film are, which way's the beach? Yes. As the sub submerges and takes off. You never see him again. In my mind, Holly drowned.
Yeah. Second time we get to see the sub pouring water through the hatch.
Yeah, not a problem.
Every time they submerge, apparently, they don't check that the hatch is closed.
God, Christopher Lee is in this movie. The amount of people that are in this is mind-blowing.
So we go to the general outside of a movie theater. He's going to see Dumbo.
Yeah.
And a courier from Barstow stops him, and the courier is covered in dust. He's from Barstow.
He's Pigpen. He's in the movie theater later, and you see him just steaming dust. Every time you see him, there's a cloud of dust around
him. Is that just a joke about Barstow?
I don't know.
That it I think that's what it is, but it was just dumb and background and not needed.
And Spielberg just like, ha-ha, up yours, Barstow. That dude who tried to stab him or whatever, remember a few years ago? Probably from Barstow.
Back to the house, we've got Dad telling Betty, because she's off to go to the dance. He says, we've never had one of these father-daughter moments. And you might be meeting a lot of guys tonight. And, well, show them a good time.
Yeah, they've only got one thing on their mind. Show them a good time. He's one step above pimp.
Yes, he's telling his daughter to go do this instead of making her.
We have the one kid eating soup through a gas mask. It's going to be hilarious, you guys. He's going to have soup, but he's got a gas mask.
Yeah. Basically, they almost drown the actor.
Yeah.
They just fill a gas mask full of soup and...
And then the worst scene in the entire movie, John Candy being a super racist jerk to the black guy that shows up.
Yeah, they've got a black guy showing up in their unit, and he's not happy that he's there, but he's there on order. And then John Candy does some stuff telling him he's not allowed to cross lines until he gets him out the door and he closes the door on him.
And straight up paints his face white. I hated watching him do this.
It was bad. Back to Macchio, and he's out front of the dance, and a bunch of Vatos are there in zoot suits with him, greeting each other when they get there.
He gets into a fight with Treat Williams.
And the Vatos help calm the fight down, but Treat lights him on fire.
Was it Treat?
Yeah.
Straight up lights him on fire.
Right.
This is the second movie where somebody's lit somebody on fire.
Yeah. And nobody's doing everything. They're just kind of laughing until a woman comes out and just screams. Doesn't say anything, doesn't point, just screams.
Every woman is always screaming in this movie.
People are saying, what's that smell? It smells like burning garbage. And then Betty shows up. She's like, what smells like burning garbage? Dumb stuff. He's still smoking. And he will for the next hour of the movie.
Yeah. And the straight up Yosemite Sam.
Oh, yeah.
He's lit on fire, runs to a puddle in the street, and drops butt first into it to put himself out. He might as well have yelled his biscuits were burning. Then we have the twins again. Wally's buddy is hanging out with the twins, and they're in a new outfit together.
But this time his buddy's in a uniform, military
uniform.
Yeah,
he's dressed like a Marine. Shop. Yeah, I rented it for $2.
So he gets to go to the dance because he's in uniform.
Robert Stack crying at Dumbo.
Great scene right there.
Wally commits treason and attacks a soldier to steal his uniform.
We get some great awful dancing. Treat Williams basically shakes her to death, trying to dance her.
It's like watching a man dance with a real doll. She just does what he wants her to
just
do.
Just being swung around by him, she's limp in his arms.
His character is a sadist monster.
Poor man's Macchio strips a dude in the alley.
Poor man's Macchio. He drops a live ammunition shell on his head.
Yeah. The drunk guy in the alley helps him strip him. He knocks him out with his bottle. And poor man's Macchio, like, celebrates. It was hilarious.
And why? Sal Stewart is the guy hosting the dance contest. Why is there a mouse on him?
I don't know. But the guy that is judging the dancing contest notices and he's, like, staring at the mouse confused.
In Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, they're at a bus station at one point and there's a man covered in mice. Just sitting at the bus station, never explained, nothing. This is a second Candy movie with an unexplained just mouse.
Actually, it's the first in order.
First in order, but...
Maybe we're going to see it scale up.
Oh, probably. Just mice on everybody.
Well, first it starts with one.
Right.
So we need to watch for the next mouse scene. There might be two or three.
Right.
Until it gets to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah. Dude, I could go through this so fast, because at this point...
Then let's stop stopping.
Nothing interesting.
Biff Tannen's taking her out of the dance. Poor man's Macchio snags her on the way out and starts dancing with her. And that's when a dance fight starts. They're just fighting each other while dancing, and it's all dumb and awful. The dance fighting ends with them actually hitting each other, his buddy jumping in and hitting, or trying to hit Treat and hitting someone else. Yeah. And it becomes a military service fight.
It's an Army-Navy brawl.
Marines all fight each other.
Tim Matheson is going to Barstow, then cut back to the dance fight, then cut to the barracks, and John Candy, the racist jerk in this, is fighting the black guy, right?
Right.
Aykroyd gets him to stop.
Ends up yelling, mount up.
Robert Stack is still loving Dumbo.
This says Belushi, I'm skipping it.
He lands in Barstow.
After the fight, there's basically a Rube Goldberg set up at the dance, where Betty walks in and pulls something where something else happens, and it just, everything leads to a punch bowl landing in the chandelier. and it slowly tilting. The band is looking around
while playing.
While playing.
Do they just play the soundtrack to the brawl the whole time?
Yeah, that's their job. They're actually playing for the radio. The punch bowl in the chandelier starts dripping onto Biff Tannen. And he sits up. And at the same second, poor man's Macho wakes up for some reason. Betty's stuck in a chair that she happened to cause to fall over because of the Rube Goldberg. And just a bunch of mayhem starts then.
And should be said, Tim Matheson and Donna get a plane in Barstow and they take off in it.
Without a radio.
Oh, and Aykroyd gives a great speech. It's a good monologue. He stops the fighting and he's good in this. I love Aykroyd. I hate this movie so much.
The brawl was crazy. It moves out on the street. And there's this amazing stunt work where this truck loaded with people gets rear-ended really hard. And all the people in the back of the truck fall out.
It looks like some people got hurt.
But then there's a fire truck and the ladder swings and takes people out.
And the Japanese people are watching Mrs. Douglas take a bath.
Everybody in the sub is on top and everybody has binoculars and they're watching her take a bath.
Yes.
And cheering out loud. And she's like, what's going on? Are the neighbors having a party?
And then an air raid siren goes off. Everybody starts freaking out. Tim Matheson and Donna are having sex in the plane while flying into L.A.
with some great model work, like Star Wars level models.
Yeah, it's top notch. Everybody on here has won Academy Awards for other good movies, I'm sure.
The worst part was the overall Hollywood scene where you're looking down and you see the little fake...
the lights.
The search lights. That was the worst part, and it was still pretty good.
It was. It's no Dumbo.
No.
The little clips of Dumbo you get to see in this are the best part of this movie. So Belushi is attacking a clearly American plane with Tim Matheson and Donna inside getting busy.
Right. And essentially he shoots the horn dogs down.
Aykroyd's shooting out the lights in the street.
Belushi takes out the land in the Hollywood land sign.
So dumb. I hate it so much. So Tim Matheson's plane crash lands into the La Brea tar pits. And for some reason, that gets Donna really going, and they go back into the plane to finish up.
Dumb.
The ventriloquist dummy, controlled by Eddie Deason, spots the sub.
So
Eddie Deason shoots down Belushi.
You're skipping some, but that's fine.
What? I don't even know what I skipped. I hate this.
So Aykroyd starts shooting out the lights, because isn't it standard operating procedure to have the lights out when an air raid happens?
Turn them off!
But no, you're going to shoot them all down. Aykroyd gets knocked out. And starts acting weird.
Treat Williams tries to rape Betty.
Poor man's Macho, who was mistaken for a sergeant or something, is now in charge of the tank.
Somebody storyboarded all of this. This was so well thought out. This became a feature film.
This storyboard must be incredibly scary to look at.
It's got to be bananas.
So Belushi ends up over the ocean because he's being shot at because they think he's a Jap. And spots a sub.
You comfortable saying that word?
I'm saying it in quotes. The Ferris wheel guys have a bunch of slapstick and they end up shooting Belushi.
Right, they shoot him down.
Biff Tannen gets more rapey.
And Wally sees her and goes and saves the day.
Crashes into the car they're under. Basically would have killed her.
Yeah.
But it knocks it over before the tank hits it.
It's a bold move. And then Belushi crashes into that same street. He's talking about how he shot down the enemy plane and that we gotta go stop the sub and all that. So he steals a bike, Barstow guy's bike.
So the family, after noticing the sub, start prepping the anti-aircraft gun. And we jump to the tank going through a paint factory and then through a turpentine factory.
That was terrible.
The scene was awesome when they're going through the paint factory. That was about it.
It's interesting to look at, but the paint factory and then, oh, we're going through a turpentine factory. Okay, we're clean. Like, just... I could just picture Spielberg just like, all right, guys, and then they go through a paint factory, right? And then there's all kinds of paint everywhere. It's going to be hilarious. And then, guess what? In order to clean it up, turpentine fact. This is just like...
Police Academy, but done poorly.
It's Police Academy, but it was written by the guy who wrote the first 20 minutes of Lost and Found.
So Dad ends up shooting through the house.
Yeah.
Some dumb slapstick of the buddy telling the wife to get out of the way, and she grabs stuff and leaves. The gun ends up being shot back into the garage.
Destroying the garage and the house.
So the buddy brings his car that was converted to a tank and says, just nudge it. And he ends up slamming it into the house again.
Straight through the front door. The top story collapses. Meanwhile, the Japanese throw Christopher Lee off the sub, the resident Nazi guy.
Right.
We never see him again. I guess he just died or swam to shore.
The sub realizes that the house is where they're being shot at from, so they go to shoot at it. One of the kids who was sent to go save the people on the Ferris wheel turns on all the lights for the amusement park with one switch.
Yeah, he presses the amusement park on switch.
All movies have this.
Yeah.
Think
Find the Lady, The Fun House, one switch operates everything.
And Beverly Hills Cop 3.
Yes, yeah. Amusement park on. Yep. So the Japanese start shooting there instead of shooting at the house. The Ferris wheel rolls off the pier. Then we have the horrible John Candy racist scene of he dumps flour on the black guy to make him white.
Because all tanks have flour in it, right?
And then some kind of grease explodes all over him and makes him black.
I think it was when it shot. It was like a powder.
And he's like, get it off, get it off.
Yeah, there's a dumb white-faced, black-faced joke where they laugh at each other and then they each point out, okay, you've got white face. Oh, well, you've got black face.
Right. It's terrible. It's so disappointing.
Belushi drives off the pier, and the tank stops at the end of the pier.
At some point, Treat Williams gets cut loose from the sidecar and crashes into the eggs. I think we talked about that earlier.
Oh, yeah. There's the Biff Tannen scene.
Who cares? Yeah. Well, instead of eggs, Biff Tannen's weakness was poop.
But that was a more satisfying scene than the egg scene.
Yeah, it's just funny to me because everybody hates poop on them.
But Biff has to say, I hate manure.
Yeah.
At least we don't hear Treat Williams saying anything about I hate eggs anymore. He said it throughout the movie, though.
The pier blows up with the tank on it, and all the guys are in the water.
They get a shot off, and they think they hit it.
Belushi boards the submarine.
As it's going down, so the final scene of water pouring in. And he says some things, and he says, well, turn around and take me to Tokyo. And that was that.
And then everybody's sleeping at the Douglas's house, just in the lawn, on beds, couches, chairs.
They've taken everything out of the house, it looks like, to save stuff from the destroyed house.
Robert Stack, the general, shows up.
A great monologue from the dad about, we've been through a lot, and I'm going to put this wreath up on the door. And goes with a wreath up on the door, hits it, the wreath stays, the door stays up. The house falls off the cliff.
And we have a few... That's the end. We have a few moments in here towards the end where they talk about 1942. Did they think they were getting a sequel?
I hope not.
This is the biggest piece of garbage.
It was pretty bad.
The music isn't even better than some of the movies we've done.
We get a little hint of the real John Williams.
Yeah, there's little...
But the rest is just poor. In the end, it sounds like the music from Stripes.
This is more impossible than to watch. This is the worst watch of all of these movies.
My first time through, I was barely watching it, and I was fine. To take notes was rough.
I never, ever would have guessed that this one would be the worst one. This is worse than, like, you know, you've got The Clown Murders is a freshman film. It's a debut film.
That was a great one.
Heads and tails above this, like, fifth film by Spielberg. It's nuts to me. I just don't know how this happened.
Worst role by John Candy yet?
Yeah, totally.
Acting was fine. I just couldn't stand the role.
I hate seeing him do racist stuff. This is a disappointment. I wish I could erase this from his career.
Yeah.
If I got three wishes, like Aladdin style... You know, instead of wishing the genie free, I'd be like, I wish John Candy never did 1941.
So, Zombieland.
Yeah.
His Garfield.
Yeah, this is his Garfield. This movie's bad.
Yeah, this movie's rough.
There's a story behind this, and we didn't do enough research, but there's something, there's a reason for this.
Do you want to do the research? Does it matter to you that much?
I mean, I'm going to do it personally. Everybody should Google this, because I have no idea what went wrong. How do you take guys that win Academy Award after Academy Award and they come together and have the greatest cast? I mean, is it all screenplay or is it all director? Somebody, I think it's like Spielberg must have had like a moment where stuff went to his head.
Is it too many chefs in the kitchen?
Could be. And I mean, Zemeckis and Gale wrote together. Maybe just they didn't hit it off with John Milius or I don't know, but something happened. There's a movie within this movie, how you get an amazing cast, an amazing director, amazing writers, and then produce the worst thing ever.
So Making of 1941, copyright Popcorn with Candy.
Yeah, it's a cake and steak. Put them in the blender. I don't know why I use that term, but I have the note in here. I put cake and steak.
That's a weird term.
So, worst movie ever, 1941.
Pretty bad.
Sucks super bad.
Yep.
So next week we're doing Blues Brothers. That should be good.
I don't know. I never had the patience to watch all the way through.
I'm not a big John Belushi fan. I like Jim.
I really don't like John, especially after 1941.
Oh, he's so bad in this. He's much... Like, even Animal House and stuff, he's better in. And he's good in Blues Brothers, but
this... I never saw Animal House either, so...
You've never seen Animal House?
Not all of it.
Parts. Oh, my God. That movie holds up well. It's good.
I prefer other college movies like that.
Like what?
PCU.
Oh, God. Piven?
Like Piven was awful.
But... Van Wilder?
Van Wilder. See, those are all... They all kind of go back to that.
Yeah, you got to watch the one that started it. That one's great.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
What's that one with Kid and Play?
House Party?
There you go.
Or School Days?
I don't know.
Class Act.
Class Act. There you go.
That's right. Yeah. I like
that I like movie. The dumb college movies. I don't like... I don't know. I'll give it a shot.
Animal House isn't exactly a smart movie, but it's a good movie. It's better than 1941.
There you go.
Least favorite. This one's at the bottom for me, out of all the ones.
It's, yeah, I'd have to say that too.
Oh, hated this so much. I just feel like we just like banged it out. Like, let's get it done. Done. Podcast done. Over.
I felt like we were taking too much time on it.
Ooh, I don't know how this episode is going to be.
Sorry if you hate it. If you like it.
Next week should be better.
Hopefully.
All right. You can find us at Twitter at popcorn_with.
We're on Facebook. You can email us at podcast@popcornwith.com.
Or you can call our phone number. That's all over the place. Call me up. Tell me how much you hate this movie, too.
We'd really like to add some content from you guys.
Yeah, leave us a voicemail and we'll throw it up here. Take us to task for not liking this piece of garbage.
Tell us how wrong we are.
God, at least the last one we got Martin Short and so. God, Lost and Found was so good in comparison to this.
It was.
I love Lost and Found.
I still want to do that supercut of the beginning.
I do, too. She was a beautiful lady. When they met, it was Moira. Just use the heart-to-heart voiceover. All right, guys. Bye.
Don't do that.
Why?
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Nope.
That's good.
Bye. I'm going to hit you.
Why? I can't be silly when I say bye.
Pretend like you're saying it for real.
Now I feel like Clifford. I don't know how to say it normal. Bye? Bye.
Sorry, folks. Park's closed. The moose out front should have told you.